In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As long as you're living in my house, I'm going to give you hell. Nothing good will come to you.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Who's that?
Oh, one of our loyal listeners. Come on, DeBone. We got P1s out here. Anyone want to call in? 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan DeBone with you. I'll tell you the strangest thing in sports that I've seen in the last month. And it's not about Brandon Ayuk. It's not about Trent Williams. It's not about Steph Curry. It's not even about the San Francisco Giants, who still have a chance to make the playoffs, 1.3%. It was last night at Stanford Stadium. So I went down for the home opener to check out the Cardinal. Shout out my boy PL and his lovely family, helping me get in the building. And I look at the gorgeous green grass, naturally grown, with a lot of 4.0 students just trampling all over it. And then I look towards the corner, and I see some spray paint. And together, it says ACC. It is the strangest. I completely forgot the Pac-12 was dead, and I hated looking at ACC on the Cardinal field as they kick off against TCU. It just didn't feel right, Dan.
It's the ultimate contradiction when you talk about the NCAA and money, right? Because it's all about them having a hard time swallowing NIL because of all the money being allocated to its players, and that these are higher learning institutions. And probably the most egregious of all of this, and the most obvious, that we are doing this for one reason and one reason only, and that is money. Forget about the fact, bad enough for football teams having to travel to the East Coast. Think about the gymnastic teams. Think about the lacrosse teams. Think about all baseball teams having to go back and play, you name it, out Virginia for a 4-game series in the middle of the spring. Like that, logistically, in terms of, I mean, this is professional sports. That's what professional athletes do. Sorry to go off on the tangent, but says ACC, then the fog on the Golden Gate Bridge as we zero in on the University of California in today's football game.
Who, by the way, kicks off against UC Davis. I think it's on ACC Network Extra. Or, I don't know, whatever their ESPN Plus version is.
People out in that part of the Northeast are like, UC Davis? The hell is that?
What do you mean? You're not looking forward to seeing the Wolfpack come to town? I mean, NC State's going to be in Berkeley this year,
That's
Dan.
That's so ridiculous.
Cal's going to Pitt. They're going to Florida State. They'll be invading Tallahassee.
That'll be fun, actually.
Taking their tomahawks with them. Probably 30-point dogs.
USC and LSU today.
Oh. That's right. And then other teams are in the Big Ten. Well, the only reason I was thinking about this is because, so I was calling a Santa Clara volleyball match yesterday, and it was, you know, I don't know.
Who was the libero?
On which team?
I don't know. Stanford's.
Oh, no. So this was Santa Clara. I drove up after the volleyball match to see the Stanford football game.
Do you know what a libero is there, Jersey Ken?
Enlighten me.
Enlighten him.
He asked you. All right,
you're the volleyball. You called the action last night.
The libero is the player on the court who is wearing a different colored jersey.
Yep.
And there are particular substitution rules that do not apply to the libero, who I believe can enter and exit. It's like you have 15 substitutions, I don't know, per set. You know, there's a rotation, and players come in and out at certain times, and you have to get particular players off the court, but those don't apply to the libero. And so the libero is generally like a defensive specialist.
Does all. Do everything.
I mean, they don't collect kills, they don't hit, they're not attacking players primarily, but they're a little bit smaller, they're quick, middle of the court, they can set up passes, they can dig balls out, and that's generally what a libero does. You're welcome, Ken.
So you're a utility guy.
Yeah, it's a good way to describe it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, well, the one last I was a former all-freshman performer for Santa Clara. My point is that...
Sorry.
I don't know, so... Where was I going with this?
I just completely screwed you. By the way, that's what they do on Bill
Maher's... Damn it, Devone.
Bill Maher's podcast when he's stoned throughout the entire interview.
I swear I'm not stoned.
With Quentin Tarantino. It's just every 10 seconds. What was I talking
what
about?
What is going on here?
I don't know, Bob. I don't know, Fitz.
Who, by the way... You were calling the game last night. Oh, you were at the Stanford game.
Yeah, so I went to the Stanford game. I saw the ACC, which was just off the... I just did not like it whatsoever.
And we talked about...
It'll come back
Florida
to me at some
State.
Point. Oh, that's right. Yeah, so I was. We have a pregame segment, right? It's sponsored, and they say, hey, we got to talk about the standings. Well, it's the first match of the season. There are no standings, so we got to talk about the coaches' poll. So I'm reading a couple days before about the where Santa Clara ranks, and Pepperdine and LMU and USD and all these fantastic volleyball programs, and I see a quote from the coach about the new teams in the conference. And so I'm like, wow, the WCC is expanding. Maybe it helps them. I don't know. Their package deal, I'm looking forward to because I'm going to be on ESPN and all the rest and blah, blah, blah. And then I see the two teams are Washington State
and Oregon State.
And Oregon State. They have joined the West Coast Conference for volleyball. I'm not sure about the rest of the sports, but we got Pac-12 ties now. And I was just like, what does this world come to?
What is the football team? Are they going to play each other 15 times? So did they go to the Mountain West for a year?
I think they're in the Pac-2. No. I'm honestly not sure.
I want to say they're in the Mountain West for a year, and then they're going to somehow reassemble or put the Pac-12 back together.
Yeah, until they figure it out. I do think that there eventually will be a new Pac-12 or Pac-10, whatever you want to call it. I mean, the Big East reformed. It disintegrated and was one of the greatest college basketball conferences that ever lived. And then it eventually came back, and they were able to kind of cobble it back together. Some new teams, some older squads. And the Big East is now, I think, seen as pretty competitive. Villanova, by the way, back in the Big East. So, look, there's hope for college programs. But speaking of basketball, Dan, I was thinking about the Warriors because Curry received his one-year $62.6 million contract extension. I think a day preceding the Ayuk deal coming down. I don't know if I just took his lead from one Wardell. But he gets the max, and that's the only thing he can sign for is 1 year. There's a rule, I think, that after age 35, you can't sign more than a one-year contract extension, or you can't have a contract longer than 3 years at that age. So he gets his max. And I'm thinking about, why is it significant for the Warriors? Because if I just asked you this offseason, is Curry going to sign his extension? I'm assuming your answer would be yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be age 37 or 38. He's going to make more money in a single season than he ever has. And I think the Warriors are happy to give him the blank check that we've been talking about for the past couple hours. But I also...
Well, it's not blank. There's a number on it.
Well, but whatever the largest number he could sign for, that's what he was going to get. If the max was $70 million, I think he would receive $70 million.
Because I think he's worth $100 million.
Well, according to the Warriors, and their latest net worth evaluation, he's probably worth more than that. Mm. Yeah, he's helped this team grow from a sub-billion-dollar franchise to one of the top three most valuable in the world. So, yeah, Curry's worth it. Curry's worth every single penny, even though he might not be the player he was a couple of years ago, and certainly won't be that same player in a couple seasons, in my opinion. But I think it's significant for the Warriors because it does two things. First, I think it makes it easier for the Golden State Warriors to lure or try and attract another big-name star. I'm not going to use the LM word, but another big-name star to Golden State. That's first. Secondly, and more importantly, the last two seasons for the Warriors entering the year have had members of the Big Three and their contracts be questions and storylines and, quite frankly, distractions the entire year. It was Draymond 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and whether he was going to opt out or opt in and what he was trying to get. And there were questions about it. And, of course, I think it impacted maybe the way he handled himself off the court. Last season, clearly impacted Klay Thompson. And we've now found out the reason why. Because there was not a two-way street with him and the Warriors. Curry, by signing this extension, relieves us of all of those conversations. We don't have to have them anymore, and we don't have to ask him what his future is going to be. Because if he doesn't sign that extension by October 21st, which is the deadline, then every single time there is a bit of a valley in the Warriors' roller coaster ride of a regular season, people are going to bring up the question, well, what are they going to do with Steph? Well, now we know what they're going to do with Steph. He's going to be a Warrior, and he's going to be one, hopefully, for the remainder of his career.
Well, that's because he's Steph Curry. And when you talk about Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, those are good players. I wouldn't even consider Steph Curry a player at this point when you're talking about contract and negotiations. He is symbolic of the franchise. He's emblematic of who that team is, who the NBA has been, quite frankly, over the last 10 years. He takes on a whole other persona. Like, the idea of re-signing Steph Curry, no-brainer isn't even an apt description from so many different levels, especially when you're talking about the finances as it relates to Joe Lacob. Because nobody prints money globally like that of Steph Curry. And the minute Steph Curry is no longer with the Warriors, the minute he takes off that uniform or the talk that, oh, he wants to play with a winner, and should he go somewhere else, the other uniform he puts on, suddenly they get all that merch revenue. They get all that TV money. They get all that money that's allocated to just one man that you can't really even quantify at the end of the day. So when you talk about Steph Curry, you're talking about truly one. I wanted to dust off that guy who wrote the article. This is why I said a couple of weeks back.
You out there listening?
That this is an athlete that is one of the greatest to ever do it. And I mean that across the board in any sport. And I don't mean just respective in terms of what he does on the floor. But the reason why I mentioned Muhammad Ali and Steph Curry, it's because of what it is that he does and the way he conducts himself as a person off the court. Like, there have been better basketball players. You could say Michael Jordan's better than Steph Curry, but nobody has been, well, Jordan's been a pretty good ambassador, but I don't think there's anybody. But Jordan was involved. There's never been any warts on Steph Curry. He didn't have this little gambling thing that he went through a couple of years, right? He never said, like, Republicans wear shoes, too. He's evaded all of that. Like, he's so rare in terms of an athlete who's in the top 10 in the respective sport, and then off the court doing everything the right way. And what does that mean for the franchise and the team you're playing for? It means money. Because men, women, and children, and people who aren't even, who are marginal sports fans, are going to buy your jersey, you're going to go to your games, you're going to watch games to follow Steph Curry. So when you talk about re-signing him, I don't even think you can compare and contrast to a Draymond Green, to a Klay Thompson. Those are all good players, all part of the foundation that's been this winning franchise over the last decade. But when it comes to Steph Curry, it's a completely different planet as far as what it is that he means, not only to the Warriors, but I think generally speaking to the sport itself.
No, I agree wholeheartedly with everything you're saying, and I don't think there is a better ambassador. The only other one that I could think of would be LeBron. But I think Curry showed us during the Olympics just who the heart of Team USA was. It's him. But I also think it's important because, again, it alleviates a distraction for this season. And if the Warriors are to truly be better than they were last year, which the front office indicates they believe they can, then there can't be extra stuff not having to do with basketball. You know, there can't be off-the-court issues and people pouting, people talking about roles, people asking questions about futures. And that, I guess, all is, you know, going to be dictated by the win-loss record. You know, if the Warriors start 10-15, maybe it comes up. But I just feel like at the beginning of the year, if he had not signed the extension, that's what everybody would be wondering. Would Steph Curry consider not retiring a Golden State Warrior? And I think he values wearing one jersey for his entire career. And that's another thing it told me also, and why he is different. Now, I don't believe he's perfect, but I feel like I know what he values. And staying with a franchise for the entirety of his career is something I believe he holds close.
The way I interpret it is that, yes, winning championships are important to him, but what it is that you just laid out is even more so. And that is, he's acutely aware in terms of his legacy and what it is that Kobe did, and you can name on one hand the athletes that have played for one team, and he wants to be one of those. And not only that, and he'll never admit this, and you might disagree, but I said this all along, before he signed that contract, that he's not all about winning championships. That if the Golden State Warriors are competitive next year, they can get to the playoffs, maybe steal a series, that's good enough for Steph. The idea that I have got to go out with another ring, and this whole concept of you can't do that to Steph. How many times have I heard that? This isn't fair to Steph. Listen, he understands where the Warriors are at. And the Warriors aren't winning another title in the next 2 years. This is not happening. I'm sorry. I hate to deflate that bubble, but and it wasn't going to happen with Paul George. It wasn't going to happen with Lauri Markkanen. I think that Steph recognizes where the team is at. It's in a bit of a reset, rebuild, however it is that you want to phrase it. But Steph is also telling everybody that he's ensconced in the area. He's part of the Bay Area. His kids live here. They've grown up here. He's not going anywhere. Just do me a favor and don't make me Kobe the last 4 years of his career where you were a lottery team and you were a joke in L.A. Can we just be competitive?
Well, I mean, look, I would push back on that. First and foremost, the reason why those Kobe teams were as bad as they were is, I mean, Kobe tore his Achilles. You know, he wasn't a very good player down the stretch of his career because of injury. Curry, knock on wood, has not had a career-altering injury like that. And as long as he doesn't, I feel pretty good about his ability to stay at a high level. I would push back on him not having a standard, you know, as far as winning is concerned. Like, I think if he didn't believe that the Warriors couldn't be competitive,
do you think he believes they can, in his heart of hearts, they can win the title next year?
No. Not as currently constructed. I don't believe that he thinks that. But by signing this contract, he also gives the Warriors more time to try and maneuver to put pieces around him to compete for a championship. I think the Warriors, now look, if they start hot, maybe there is somebody that becomes available at the deadline. I think that they haven't pushed all their chips in yet as far as trade pieces. You know, I'll be curious to see what they do with Kuminga this offseason, who's eligible for a contract extension. I think the way that they have pushed Brandon Podziemski on seemingly everyone in the media is very interesting as far as how highly they value him. And the piece that Slater wrote, I think it was last week, about how Podziemski had gotten confirmation from Dunleavy and Lacob that he was not going anywhere this offseason. I think that means the Warriors value him highly. You know, I think it's a bit premature, but they clearly do. They still have trade chips to use, and they haven't cashed them in yet. And I think that Curry, by signing that one-year deal, is doing all the things we're talking about. He wants to be a one-team player. I think he wants to cement his legacy. I think he still wants to compete. but he also is giving the Warriors a little bit more time to get help around him. I don't think he's just going to... I don't think he's satisfied with the Kobe riding off into the sunset just with a 25-win basketball team.
Well, no. I said he doesn't want to be Kobe. I think what he wants the Warriors to do is to maybe give the outside chance that we could win this thing as a long shot, but just be competitive. Let's get into the playoffs and be a good team. Let's not be a lottery team. I think Steph recognizes he's getting older. He's slowing down. But the idea that you're going to get in a player in here, or that you're going to be able to bring in a couple of players and we're going to be a championship-type team, looking at the landscape of the Western Conference, I think he realizes that that's not going to happen. But as you get older, it just becomes more a quality of life, that that's as important as anything, if not more so. And then we sort of mischaracterize and misjudge a lot of this, that Steph is all about winning a title, that he may get up and go, Ev. He may go to wherever because he wants to win that championship. Yeah, same with LeBron. It's true, but you know what? LeBron, at the end of the day, he's like, I want to win titles, but I'm cool in Brentwood, brother. I'm cool having my production company and being in Los Angeles and all my ties to Hollywood. That also means something. Do I want to win a title? Sure. But some of these other things in life now have become almost on par with winning. Ooh. And I know Steph wants to win. That's what drives these guys. It's what gets them out of bed in the morning. That's why they're as good as they are. Does he want to win a title? Yeah, but as the older you get, you begin to recognize, my kid wants to go to whatever, Monta Vista High School, and I don't want to leave, for 4 months of the year or 6 months of the year and play basketball and not be here in San Francisco in the Bay Area and watch them grow up. Whatever it is, I think quality of life really factors in now more so than maybe in years past.
But I also think he's realistic. You know, like winning a chip at all costs is not the most important thing to him, but it isn't as if it's not a really, really important thing. He wants to win every single year, but he's realistic that you can't. I mean, even some of the greatest Warriors teams he's been a part of have not won championships. So I think he gets it. He gets it in a way that a lot of athletes don't. And in doing that, he has made himself... that's where he separates himself, in my mind, from LeBron. He's not a guy that jumps ship. He's not a guy that throws teammates or coaches under buses. He's not a guy that gets people fired. He's not a guy that will come out and talk bad about an individual. He won't go at media members. He's just different, and that's why he is the ambassador that you believe is on the same par with some of the most historical figures in sports.
I'm trying to think of, like, an athlete. Who can you think of off the top of your head? Because Muhammad Ali was certainly controversial. Let's stop with the comparisons between him and Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, that's a whole other show for another time. But as far as, quote-unquote, doing it the right way, keeping your nose clean and just being a good guy, as well as being one of the best at your sport, who would you compare him to? I don't think there's anybody else out there, quite frankly.
For their entire career? I mean, well, first of all, there's just not a lot of players of his caliber that have been with the same team for as long as he has. They got Duncan, but Duncan didn't play in the same market with the same set of eyes that Curry did. But I think he's similar. I'm only really familiar with the tail end of his career. Elway, maybe. And the fact that he also was a part of the Broncos front office indicates just how much they value him in Denver. But Denver's not a market like the Bay Area. So I do think that it's more difficult for Curry to navigate that space.
Yeah, but even Elway, again, if you were to compare him to Steph Curry, who has no blemishes on the resume, Elway was drafted by the Baltimore Colts and refused to go. Like, I don't want to play in Baltimore. He was the first guy to say, he was sort of Eli Manning before Eli Manning was drafted by that of the Chargers, remember? And said, no, we're not going there.
Well, that was his dad.
His dad, but also,
Yeah.
And I think Elway was very similar in that I'm not going to Baltimore. Why? I don't want to play there. And so, he got his way. So there's nothing wrong with that. My point being is that, again, you can't find any of that with Steph Curry. Like, there's none of that in his career, both on and off the court.
Well, if you can think of anyone, we're taking your calls, we're taking texts on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings alongside Dan DeVille. We'll be back with our final segment, taking up until noon, right here on Saturdays on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes you wake up, Evan, you sound a little bit groggy.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
You got me, Philmo. You got me. I don't know if he was listening right at 9 a.m., but... Look, me and Devone are working on 3 hours of sleep each. Let's just come out and say, let's tell the people what's going on. This is an honest forum, an honest place. We're all family here. I'm gassed.
What were you doing last night?
Well, I'm not going to tell you what I was doing. I'm just going to tell you how much sleep I got. No, well, so it started yesterday. So Ken also knows this because he was in on the morning show. I was filling in for Bonte. So we get here at, you know, an ungodly hour. We're up before the Roosters. And I roll in here about 5 a.m. or something like that. Wake up at 4. Do the show. Stick around through Steiny and Guru. Had a really fun show yesterday as well. Ken actually was there until 2 o'clock. Then I drive immediately down, grab some lunch on the way, drive down to Santa Clara, call this Santa Clara volleyball game that I was telling you about. And then I drive up to Stanford Stadium to catch the first half of the Cardinal TCU. Really good game. ACC opener, disgusting. And then I drive up to NOPA, north of the Panhandle, this little neighborhood in the city, and I kick it with a few of my friends up until, wee hours or whatever. And then we go out to Coal Valley, and we get into some trouble, And then I go back home, and, I don't know about you, Devone, I can't just shut it down immediately. Like, my body was still running on its third and fourth winds. And so I'm up, and... Now I'm right here with you because I have to get up at about 6:30.
You know what Paris Hilton says? Nothing good happens after 2 a.m., my man.
Is she the only one that says that?
So where are you rolling after?
What's your excuse?
Well, where were you rolling after NOPA?
Finnegan's Wake.
That's a bar.
Yeah.
Finnegan's Wake?
A pub.
After hours?
Well, it shuts down at 2.
Okay.
But...
Finnegan's Wake.
Oh, by the way, that is home court. Anybody who plays pool, anybody who shoots pool, that's home court for your boy. I will take on anybody there.
Are you playing for a little money online, or are you just...
No, I'm broke.
By the way, when we talk about local football, so you're a big Cal fan, right?
Yes.
So my sisters went to Cal. Cal's probably the one football team that if you said, do you have an allegiance to? Like, no matter where I am in the country or wherever, I'll check and see what Cal did. Like, I wouldn't consider myself a fan of any other sport for whatever reason. Maybe it's because my sisters went to school there, and I bought into Oski when I was a kid, and the whole football fandom, when it has at your...
By the way that Oski walks is just... one of the creepiest things I've ever seen. He holds his hands behind his back.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of drags his feet like he's in Dune 2 and he's sand walking. I mean, Oski's just... I'm sorry. I love Cal. I love the Golden Bear. But Oski, brother, we got to work on your posture.
That's all part of... So whoever the new Oski is, that's all part of the...
That's all I've known my entire life.
That wasn't one particular Oski that sort of like you saw for a three-year run?
Since I've been going to Cal football games, and I don't go every single year, whoever is in that Oski uniform, I don't know if it's the same person or probably different people. I think they have a rotating, you know, cast of members that infiltrate that suit. And they all walk like that. And they all hold their hands behind their back like they're up to no good.
Maybe it's part of the Yogi Bear persona, sort of that friendly bear. Maybe that's part of the problem why they've been so crappy. Get an angry grizzly out there. But I digress.
Start paying people.
There is one player that has captivated my interest. That'll happen from time to time when it comes to Cal football, which I am partial to. And of all the teams, including the Niners, the Giants, the Warriors, if you were to ask me, what is the one team that you're a fan, a legitimate fan of? It's been Cal football throughout my entire life. If there's one player that I'm like, wow, that's brought back some spark, and I hope they do well as I do every year, but I am really curious to follow one, Fernando Mendoza. Starting quarterback.
Their
brother.
Quarterback? That out of every Cal athlete that has ever walked through the Memorial Coliseum gates. Mendoza?
Well, no, this year there's a litany of players that I'm huge fans of, but right now
they still got
over recent memory where there's a player I'm like, that's like, you got to hear this kid. He's, first of all, he's brilliant. I want to say he's an Ivy League transfer. He's so smart. And he is just, he's got a twinkle in his eye where he's got a big personality and he's got the Cuban roots. It's just like, it's a cool story. I'm just saying, man, bye Fernando Mendoza.
When I seen him throw that ball, I was like, oh my God.
All I know is he's going to be running for his life week four when they go to Tallahassee against Florida State. I honestly, look, I don't have super high hopes for Cal football, but I do have a couple of suggestions from our previous conversation about like exemplary athletes, because we're talking about Curry, you know, what he means. I think this is a really good one from the 408, the Xfinity Mobile text line. Roger Federer, an exemplary athlete.
It's tennis.
Okay, first.
What are we doing here?
I'm going to fight you in a minute.
I know.
510, Tim Duncan. 510 also, Cal Ripken. I think that's a good one.
Mendoza went to Yale. He transferred from Yale. Go ahead, sorry. How many people go from Yale to Cal? And he's from Miami, so he's got that Cuban background.
Do we know he's Cuban?
Yes.
Do we know that?
Better be.
Do we know that for a fact? But the one that caught your ear during the break, and thanks to our YouTube chat as well for the suggestion, was Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Better comparison to Steph on off court than
that's a good stick.
Than Elway.
But I think, as we talked about, he didn't revolutionize the sport like that of Steph. Like, you can say Steph in terms of 3-point shooting. Nobody did it like him.
No, but I do think that the market matters, and there's no bigger market in the country than New York. And there's no bigger brand in sports outside of maybe the Cowboys than the New York Yankees. And you can make a case the Yankees are bigger just because they've been around for longer. They've won a lot more.
But if I was really to get technical about it, he got into that fight with A-Rod. They used to be best friends, right? This is the reason why A-Rod went to the Yankees. It's like, our dream was to play on the left side of the infield together. And A-Rod's like, yeah, I want to play there so bad, I'll actually give up shortstop, my natural position, to play third base, to play alongside you. And then it got to the point where those two didn't speak to each other until just recently. I want to say over the last year.
They're hosting Fox pre- and post game shows together. I think they're doing okay.
They came together. But there was, so you didn't, but you don't have any of that with Steph, you know? I mean, I know I'm nitpicking here because Derek Jeter was the exemplary sort of.
Well, when he tries to trade Draymond this season, we might look at him a little bit differently.
But Steph has never been, I mean, he gets along with his teammates. You can bring in, you know, you can bring in Kevin Durant. It's fine. Whoever. I'll, that's what I mean. He's so rare that whoever it is that you put up there, I'm sure if I dug a little bit more, there's some warts on Federer that we're not aware of that Curry's not privy to.
Well, I mean, his skin is clear as day.
Federer?
Oh, yeah.
That's scary, man.
Yeah, zero warts. All right, let's get out to Gene in Oakland. He's been hanging on patiently, wants to talk about Steph. Gene, how are you?
I'm fine, fellas. So, look, yeah, I want to say something about Steph. First of all, I agree. They really had no choice. They had to sign him to this. You know, he's the face of the team. He's just worth that much. In my mind, he's the greatest Warrior ever. And, you know, on my top 10 you know, best of all time list. And I go all the way back to the beginnings of Bill Russell, so, you know, I've seen a lot of greats. So. But there's a couple of concerns I think that we all should have, and I think you touched on them already, Dan. First of all, the fact that, you know, 62.5 mil is going to limit our chances to get some real help around him. I think he is, you know, I think he realizes, as he said, that the chances of getting a championship are very slim. But he just wants a competitive team. But that's going to, you know, that's going to impact our chances of doing that. So we're going to have to hope for, well, you know, hope for the young fellows to develop to a point where at least they're competitive and, you know, a playoff team at that time. The other concern I have is this. You also touched on it. You know, Curry's getting older. And he's, you know, even in the last couple of years, you could see him slowing down. Second half of this last season, you know, he was good. He was not great. So, because he's getting older, and what he does on the court really is something that no man at his age has ever done before, you know, even in his mid-30s. So what are we going to see at age 39? And here's my concern along with that. I have two of the greatest sports icons in my mind, in my sports history. The first is Willie Mays. And I remember the catch and throw in 54.
Vic Wertz.
I saw it, you know, a couple of years after that. I'm that old. And it left an indelible, you know, image in my mind. He became the greatest player of all time, right, from that point on. But then I fast forward to 72 when he was with the Giants. And I remember this sad image of Willie trying to run out for a routine fly ball and being too slow to do it. So I felt at that point, if he'd only retired a year or two before, you know, he could have gone out on top. I think I would have felt better about it. Second icon is Tiger Woods. All right. Greatest golfer of all time, as far as I'm concerned. But look at what he's doing now. It's truly sad to see him, you know, shooting 7 or 8 or 10 over par and not making cuts.
Hey,
once again, I wish he had quit. So I'm afraid I don't want to see that for Curry is what I'm getting at. I hope he has the presence of mind to know his limits. And if he can't play, you know, more than 15, 20 minutes, then, you know, please just don't do what these other athletes did. But those are my points.
Thanks, Gene. Appreciate the call. I mean, he agreed with you.
There's an art to going out on top, and I don't think that's lost on Steph Curry. I don't think Steph Curry's going to be one of those guys hanging on.
But how many guys get to go out on top? Like, that's something that, look, okay, not everybody can be John Wayne, all right? No one is going to walk into the sunset after every single movie and sweep the woman off their feet, in this case, sweeping a championship off their feet and walk into the sunset. Like, even the greatest of greats don't get to do that.
Well, what I mean by that is that when you... He gave the example of Willie Mays, who I think retired at the age of 42 and finished his career with the New York Mets. And there was that World Series that the Mets were in against the Oakland A's. The A's won it in 72, 73, and 74. And Willie Mays, it was sort of embarrassing. And my point is that going out on top is that Steph Curry will recognize that when it's time to go, he will leave when he still has all his faculties in terms of the ability to shoot a three and still look like a good basketball player.
But I think that's also something athletes say they want to do, but don't actually follow up on. Like, I remember...
Well, it's hard.
Well, yeah, to walk away is it's something we know nothing about at that level. But I remember listening to an interview from the late, great Kobe Bryant, where he was talking about how he basically, you know, he just said, like, do you think I'm going to hang around, you know, an average 15, 17 points a game? And, you know, do you think that I'm just going to, you know, be a guy? No, like, if I can't be Kobe Bryant, I'm not going to be playing anymore. Okay, well, the last couple of years of his career, he was averaging like 17 to 20 points a game. Like, what I'm saying is that the competitor in these players does not allow them to just hang it up at the highest of highs, or at what they believe is enough of a peak for them. If Steph Curry wins, if the Warriors somehow miraculously win the championship this season, You think Curry would retire?
He should.
I beg to differ. I beg to differ. I don't think it means he should, and I don't think he would.
No, he wouldn't, but I think that's the perfect opportunity. Like, that's your, you know, that's your Mikey Ruzioni, or your opportunity, one of the few athletes just to go out on top after a title.
The most recent one that I can recall as far as being a franchise player that got to retire on top was Ray Lewis. His last game was against the Niners in the 2012 Super Bowl.
I mean, it happens. I think the closest might be, and this is a bit of a stretch, is when you think of Tom Brady. It could have gotten a lot uglier had he stayed in New England. But we think about Tom Brady on the north side of 40 going out with a Super Bowl title with Tampa Bay. Now, the last 2 years?
His last season went 8-9.
Yeah, well, but do you think of that, or do you think of him and his winning a title with Tampa Bay the year prior?
Well, you think about the championship, but I think you think about the highest point for any athlete, no matter how they retire. Like, I don't remember Patrick Ewing retiring as a Seattle Supersonic.
Oh, that was gross.
You know, I'm not going to remember Olajuwon in a Toronto Raptors jersey. I'm going to remember him giving the dream shake to David Robinson when he was in his prime. My point is that it's great to think about athletes winning a championship and then just setting sail. But I don't believe that most players can do that. Like, Tom Brady would have been smart to hang him up after he won his final ring with Tampa Bay. But the next year, I think he led the league in passing.
Yeah.
Like, he still had a lot left in the tank.
Well, there was talk about him coming to San Francisco. Because remember, the 49ers were in flux for a quarterback. And that he was going to be that 1 year and come back home to San Mateo. And his dad was going to do it. Or dad would drive down and watch games. I mean, I guess the reason I use Tom Brady as an example is that he was still on top of his game. Yeah, the 8-9 record wasn't impressive. And I think that's what you'll get from Steph Curry. He may not win a title. He may stay on a year too long as far as a one-loss record with the Golden State Warriors. But I don't think he's going to hang on where he's got two knee braces and can no longer be the Steph Curry that we've all known to grow and love. He's not going to be a guy that's just going to hang on until somebody says, taps him politely on the shoulder and says, "Hey, Steph, known you my whole life, bro. It's time to go."
Yeah, I mean, well, Ken, I don't know. Can you recall a particular athlete? And that's kind of why I mentioned Elway. Like, he did go out on top. The 510 is chiming in Peyton Manning, who retired after Super Bowl 50.
Yeah,
but that's when he was done.
That's what I was going to say, too, because Peyton Manning's kind of like the cross, the in-between, because his last year with the Broncos wasn't great, but he went out on top. Now, I don't know if that means, like, you know.
But it was time for him to retire. I think he threw 9 touchdowns to 17 picks that year.
He was wearing gloves on his hands at that point. So, yeah, no, it definitely was. It was just a good moment for him. And like you said, Tom Brady, I still think he went on top. You know, he could still have another couple years in him. I think he still wants to play, if we're being honest.
Yeah. And I think that sort of the medicine in terms of taking care of your body has really changed. When you think about, you know, I think the caller talked about Willie Mays and going back in the day, is that once you get to 40, it's not the end of your career. And these guys, the way Steph and LeBron, maybe started this, the way they take care of themselves year-round in terms of having a dietitian on your payroll and all the working out. Peyton Manning, though, he did it with two teams. So if we're really, again, splitting hairs and we're talking about Steph Curry with the Golden State Warriors throughout his entire career, I mean, Peyton and Indy, and then going to Denver and winning a title, where we're sort of...
Well, and that's why, like, Ray Lewis was top of mind for me, because he was a Raven his entire career. I think he was also still pretty good towards the tail end, even though he was recovering from that tricep injury, but he was still a good player at the back end of his career. Peyton Manning, the best Broncos teams that he played on probably weren't the ones that won, or the best Bronco teams that he was, like, an elite quarterback. I mean, same with Indianapolis, you know? So... As far as being a one-team player...
Elway.
Yeah, that's Elway. I mean, Mahomes is probably the closest one currently going. You know, I don't think there's much you can nitpick about Mahomes,
No. The
person.
No.
There hasn't been much that's been dusted off on him in a negative light. And look, I'm willing to admit, you know, I'm not that old. The 510 is saying Jim Brown retired on top as a champion, most valuable player in 64.
As a champion?
I'm not so sure.
Neither am I.
I'm not familiar with the 64 Browns. So
we looked at it. I don't think the Browns won it in 60. The Browns haven't won it. No. Maybe that's right.
Well, they're in the AFL. I don't know. But I think it's just, it's very rare. And that's why, actually, I know it's an individual sport and you kind of poo-pooed it, but I do think Federer is someone that comes to mind, because Federer is not going to go down, and this is where I think he's similar to Steph. Steph, you brought up, is not the greatest player of all time, but he might be the greatest ambassador of all time. I don't think Roger Federer will be seen as the greatest tennis player to ever walk the earth, but he might be the game's greatest ambassador ever. You know, we saw a couple players recently that were retired that I think have a chance to be better than him. You know, Djokovic, who lost yesterday at the U.S. Open, Alcaraz the day before. Alcaraz has a long way to go, but Djokovic is the best player I've ever seen. I wouldn't consider him nearly the ambassador that Roger Federer was. And there have been great champions, but to have that, I don't know, that just innate ability to lead and represent, not perfection, but greatness. I mean, it is rare.
I want to say, I remember back in the Balco days, where, you know, everybody was being sort of outed. It was sort of like McCarthyism back in the day.
Willie Mays is probably the other one that the Bay Area has.
I want to say Federer was caught up in that there were allegations that Federer was on this list of people that were doing drug-enhancing or performance-enhancing drugs.
You're just going to throw that out there?
No, we can look it up. I want to say that, yeah, that he was again, to
all
my
right,
point.
Federer, steroids, and the 64 Browns.
Steph Curry is just, he's never even come close to anything like that, which puts him, again, in such a rarefied position. Like, he's just so clean. But not like a Tim Tebow clean, not an annoying clean. Not a Russell Wilson annoying clean. Not that religion makes you annoying. But yeah. I think that because he's a religious guy. I mean, like, he likes to have fun and he does his thing and he's a cool cat. He's identifiable. But he just, you know, he does it the right way. And for a guy who's a top 10 athlete in his respective sport, I think you can count on one hand, and one of which is Steph Curry.
Yeah, I think Serena Williams probably is in that category as well.
Well, you're looking at this Federer in there?
Well, I'm just looking at, like, individual champions. Okay. They don't have a chance to switch teams. You know, they're playing on Team Williams or Team Federer. So it's a little bit different. But yeah, Curry's, look, he's one of one, man. And he got his 1 year, $62.6 million extension. He's going to be a Warrior for the next couple of seasons, you know. And I'm looking forward to that. I know that his powers will probably decline.
Oh, by the way, I know you follow this stuff. Did my man Tiafoe, did he win?
He did. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, he was down.
He beat the other American.
Yeah, he beat Shelton, which I was very disappointed
in.
I think Shelton's the best American we have. And Tiafoe came back and took him out. Mm-hmm. I think he was down one set. Shelton took the first. It's just, God, I could go on forever about our American tennis players. They're all flawed.
Are they?
They're all flawed.
Not according to McEnroe.
Well, none of them are McEnroe. None of them.
You can't be serious.
Well, maybe their personalities, but as far as their ability, we cannot find one to break through. The U.S. Open is the only opportunity we really have, because by the end of the tennis calendar, all these guys are gassed. You know, Djokovic is running out of steam. Alcaraz is running out of steam. Yannick Sinner's
in it.
Speaking of Balco. What?
You know how hot it is in New York right now?
I don't know, temperate.
I mean, it's like mid-90s, like when the Open, like 2 days ago. Can you imagine playing on concrete? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, it should favor a player like Ben Shelton, who is just an unbelievable forehand and a ridiculous serve. The guy puts more power into anything at 21 years of age than a lot of guys I've seen. You know,
he's
probably got to go back to Roddick.
Physically put together as well.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He is a big boy. All right, Dan. Well, this has been fun, my man. Appreciate you.
Oh, are we done? I honestly thought we had a whole other segment. I'm sorry. I would have finished with a bang rather than a whimper.
Well, you got 30 seconds. What do you got?
I don't know, man. I think that... I don't know.
I thought you were going to go Simone Biles.
U.S. Open.
Stick the landing.
Come on. With U.S. Open.
What's your hottest take from the week? Come on. I know you got it.
My hottest take of the week, Jets beat the Niners by 2 touchdowns. Good night, everybody.
Well, save that for next Saturday. We still got one more show before the Monday night opener, yes. And if you want to go back and listen to our 4 hours conversation, we did get into it in the first hour. I swear to God, we talked about the Niners. We also got into the Warriors, and we also took about 5 seconds to talk about the San Francisco Giants. But it's always fun to work with you, Dan. I look forward to doing it again. Same place, same time, 9 to noon next Saturday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.